Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program, Free on the Inside. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to the best internet program available at this time of morning, a program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you can be for Christ Jesus. This morning, we have two great guests on this morning. We have our first guest, Ms. Claudia Fowler. She's a community and civil rights activists working diligently to make a difference. She looked around and saw that if something could be done, and she said, God, what would you have me to do? And she put her hand to the plow, and she's making a difference to young and old. And at this time, I'd like to introduce to you Ms. Claudia Fowler. Good morning.
Good morning, Minister Lewis, and how are you? That's quite an introduction.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the program. You know what? I'm excited about having you on the program. I'm excited about what you're doing for the kingdom because you're no novice at this. You've been doing this for a long time, and you hadn't got weary or well-doing. That's always for you.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, you know, I always live by the fact that community work is always a thankless job, but it's a job that is rewarding at the end of the day, because one of the things I do live by is that if I can help one somebody during the day that I'm up and I'm doing my thing and I'm in the community, then when I lay down at night, then my living for that day has not been in vain.
Oh, that is so true. That's so. But I tell you what, you have more than just one somebody. But I know what you're talking about because you're making a difference. You're changing the landscape, man. You're changing things. You know, things ain't like they used to be. So tell us right now, get us up to date on where you're at and what your program is involved in at this moment.
Well, right now, of course, Joppy, we are in the process of getting Habitat for Humanity. They're getting ready to come and build some more homes. We're getting ready for a big grand opening. We now have a water park and want to cut the ribbon on that in a few weeks, along with soccer field and some other things that are going on at our park out there in the Joppa area that's been needing an overhaul for quite a few years. We just got through with the Joppa community Juneteenth. That you know, we have been trying to get together for a few years. We used to have them back in the day, and then, you know, as some of your elders kind of, you know, transition on, you know, to heaven, and then, you know, people kind of get busy during the summertime with children and other activities. But this was the first one that we've had in, you know, in a while, and it came off pretty great. We had a lot of participation. We had Paul Quinn students out there, so it was really a great time.
Yes, it will. Now, tell us about the Joppa community, because I'm looking at your website here, and it says established since 1879. Give us some history about it, and tell us the value and the worth of that community as it's established, and it's been there for a while. It's got a lot of elderly and senior citizens that's living there.
It does. You know, Joppa has been around. We were established, like, around 1872. The oldest church out there is the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. They were established around 1889, I believe. Of course, when, you know, the slaves were freed up north, it took them all that time after he signed the Emancipation Proclamation to get to Texas. It bypassed Dallas for some reason, then he came back to Dallas, and then that's when Joppa was established. So our homes go back all the way to, like, 1905. We have even got insight that there may be some slaves that were actually buried out there in the Joppa area. There was a cemetery. They're alluding to the fact there may even be a cemetery, you know, out there around there by the park area, by Kiskin Fellows Lane. So we have a lot of rich, rich history, you know, for the Joppa community. You know, we've had some, you know, families that have been established out there, you know, for a while. You know, the Miles family, the Crowder family. There's so many of them that have made Joppa into what Joppa is today. And then we have a lot of young ladies now that are coming on the scene. We have our groups out there, which is the oldest one, which is the Joppa, which is the South Central Civic League. And we have my organization, the Joppa South Central Coalition for Neighborhood Redevelopment, Then we have the Ministers of Minds, and then we have Kathy Sunshine Outreach. And people may say, wow, that's a lot of groups for such a small community. But when you have a small community, you need groups that kind of fit everybody's need. Like I said, we've established partnerships with people like Habitat for Humanity again. They're coming to build, and you know, we're wanting to see more of a sustainable community. We have, of course, our partnership with the City of Dallas. We have several partnerships that come into play that have helped Joppa to because we're growing. And, you know, I was asked by a reporter a couple of weeks ago, what do you want to see in the next 5 years? I want to see a community full of homes. I want to see children playing. I want to see our older people able to walk and you know, get their exercise. You know, I want to see a community that is viable. And I think that's what every community leader or gatekeeper of a community, I think that's really what they want to see.
And that is so true. And I see Joppa is shaping up, you know. Our church is out there, so I'm out there on a regular basis. And I see the new homes going up and the streets are being paved and just a whole makeover of the community. And I thank God for people like yourself and organizations like yourself that going down to the city hall and going to the commissioner court and petitioning, you know, things for the community. And I've seen you in action. I've seen you down at the council meetings holding men and women accountable.
That's true. And when we talk about our elected officials, you know, we have been in District 4. We're now in District 7. So we've had, you know, the privilege of having, you know, people like Dwayne Curaway was our council person for so long. We've had our recent council person, Carolyn Davis, who turned out. And now we have Ms. Tiffany Young, who is our city councilwoman right now. And we're looking forward to working with her. We're looking forward to the great things that she has planned and that she's going to be doing with us. And, you know, of course, it is about accountability, but it's also about good leadership and someone that we can depend on, because one thing that Joppa has always had in the past, we've always kind of looked at that, you know, we have been the forgotten community. You know, you remember where we are when it comes to some parts of development around us, but when it comes to us as a community, we feel like sometimes we have felt in the past that we have been forgotten. But now, like I said, with people like Habitat coming and other builders that are wanting to come and to help, you know, build up our community, we now feel like that we're truly, truly on the map. You know, we now have the bridge that opened what in 2006 that gave us a passageway over the railroad track, because we used to only have the two ways in and the two ways out, which was, you know, across the railroad track and around the 12. So now it's across the bridge. Now it's over the bridge, across the track, or around the loop. So now we have three entrances and exits out of Joppa, which has gave us, you know, a better pathway of if something should happen out there, then we can have a safe exit out of our community.
And that is so true. I remember some time ago when they used to flood out there, and then that limited your ability to get in and out of Joppa. That's been taken care of. And with the bridge, I was there at the opening of the bridge, and it was quite a ceremony, and thank God for it. And it was a long time in coming, but it was needed. And I see that you have your finger on the pulse of that community. And as you see that community developing, what sense of awareness that you know that there's more to it than what you're doing right now, that there's a lot of things that the community is needed, that we as people need to bind together and make these things happen?
Well, of course, on the uprising, there is the Trinity River Corridor that's going to be literally right in our backyard. We have a golf course that is coming that is a rock throw away from our entrance to the community. So we're looking at all the development that is surrounding us, and the question has came about, where does that lead Joppa? What is our take on it? You know, what are we going to get out of it? And, you know, we're hoping that to work with the city, that, you know, the development's coming, that there will be jobs, of course, for our people in the community, that, you know, the development coming will not push us out, but it will, you know, have an open arm to welcome us as a neighboring community, that we work together, of course, with DPD, you know, safety issues, you know, and all of that. So with the development just surrounding Joppa, we're going to be pretty busy, and I know we're going to be taking a closer look at, for a better word, within the next couple of years. So we're there.
I see the vision. I see it and I hear it. Now, tell me now, I work with Joppy along with yourself and the other community leaders down there. They established some homes. How many homes, can you recall how many homes that they have put down there so far versus and also along with what they plan on doing for the next few years?
Yeah, we had a blitz. Habitat for Humanity called the blitz. We had a blitz a few years back, and they built close to 50 homes. And doing the blitz. So right now we have close to, I'll say between 48 to 50 families. We're getting ready to build another 29, 30 more. So by the end of, I would say, next year, hopefully you have Habitat will be able to move forward, you know, with the building of homes. They're already, you know, leveling ground now for houses. We'll have close to 100 new families with the 50 that we have. So, you know, I can see us now becoming a more vibrant community. When I grew up, there were houses everywhere. I don't really think we had that many vacant lots, and now we have a lot of vacant lots out there. So, you know, virtually what we're looking at is that close to 100 homes, just to kind of round it off, between now and maybe the end of next year, you know, as you know, the Habitat is coming, along with other developers as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You keep doing what you're doing for the community, okay? And we're going to shift gears here, and we're going to talk about something that's very dear to your heart, about our young men that's been under attack, Black Lives Do Matter, and how you're involved in ministry and programs that's reaching out to our young men, reaching out to the community, reaching out to our leaders, and, you know, the police and the other government officials to let them know that they've been held accountable. Now, you share with me something about a program that you are starting up. Would you like to share with us at this time, that program?
Well, I will. Thank you, Minister Lewis. During the McKinney situation/incident, Attorney Pamela Means, who is the president of the National Bar Association, came to town, had a press conference at Wednesday. And during the press conference, she handed out or brought along with her some information, very important, valuable information. And it's just a little simple card that says, Know Your Constitutional Rights. I have started my nonprofit called the Du Bois Movement, and the Du Bois Movement is going to be one that is virtually going to be talking about or educating the community. I'm looking at giving this card to all of our young men, you know, to make them understand that when you are stopped and or harassed, if ever, by the police department, as well as our young ladies, there's this card, because what I figured out was that when you get stopped, especially in a traffic stop, you have to go into your bill folder or your wallet in order to get your driver's license or your ID. Well, when you pull out that machine, pull out this card that says, Officer, you know, I want to read you something because I want you to understand that I know what my rights are. And they may not even want to listen. They may tell you to be quiet. They may whatever. But most of the time, you know, and it does give them good information about, you know, you can video them. You can ask them why you're stopping me. I can tell you I do not consent to you searching my car. I do not want you to tap, you know, if there is a situation where I am going to be taken to jail, I will not give you information. I will not give you permission to tow my car. So there's just several things on here that if these young people sit down and really talk about with their parents, and I want to really, you know, encourage the parents, if, you know, your son or daughter brings home this car, so this little lady gave me this, or I got this at church, or I got this at a meeting, sit down with your child 5 to 10 minutes and look at the card, read it, and discuss it. Because I am a firm believer, Minister Lewis, that prevention is shown up better than postvention. We wait till our unarmed young men are shot down in the streets of Dallas. You know, we wait till our young ladies are, like what happened in McKinney, you know, drug across grass like a rag doll. And then we want to then start marches and protests and meetings. Well, that's good, because I have been at protests. I have been in marches. I have been in meetings. And I agree with all of that. But if there is a way that we can prevent this by giving them education, because we always talk about education versus incarceration. Well, to me, education is better than postvention of us having to, you know, Big Mama having to try to get money together to bury that grandson or a grieving mother on TV or angry father on TV. So what can we do as community leaders, community activists, and people that have an interest and understanding? This is nothing against DPD or any law enforcement agency, but they need to have an understanding, too, that we have constitutional rights. Just like they have a right as law enforcement, you know, to stop you, or if they think, you know, to, you know, probable cause and all of that. And that's good. What they need to understand is that.
And, you know, that's something that we don't think about, that we do have constitutional rights, and we should be able to use those rights. How many points do you have on your card, just offhand, so they have an idea that this is serious, and that this here would make a difference?
There is at least, I would say, 15 points or more on there that they will understand. And it's very simple, you know,
okay.
And it's just telling them the how, you know, the how, the what, the why, and... You know, and tell, you know, and I want them to understand, don't be argumentative with them. You know, just you know, be polite, be professional, and even though it may anger you because you don't understand why, but understand that you need to make them understand that you have constitutional rights.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we tend to get ourselves in trouble. We try to justify our acts, but we don't know our constitutional rights, so we kind of bucking up against what the system per se, but we can voice our opinion in a civil manner to get our point across. And I'm glad that's what you bring to the forefront there, because unless we know our rights, we can't use them. We can't use them. And you said something a while ago that it's important for the parents to be involved in the lives of our young men and women, to sit down and talk to them, because after they get up to a teenager and young adults, they're going out, you know, they're able to go out on their own without supervision. And as you know, how dangerous it can be when a young person goes out and they used to environment in one way, but then they leave the comfort of their home or even leave the state. It's a totally different scenario.
That is, and, you know, and I've told parents that, you know, you need to have a conversation, or even conversations, you know, that they need to have a conversation with their son and or daughter, especially ones that are going, you know, out of the surrounding area. If you're going to a certain part of Texas, if you're going out of state, that, you know, you need to learn the laws of that state. You need to learn, you know, which most traffic laws are virtually about the same, but you need to learn things about that state and whatever else, because like I've told some parents, it's a really scary thing when you give them Sunday dinner, they're packing the cars, and you're bidding farewell with the hugs, and you know, kind of when you get back to school and all that kind of stuff, and then, you know, something could happen either to their car, or they could be going 10 miles over in on a country road somewhere down south, and, you know, they get stopped by someone that's not African-American friendly. So, you know, and to how to act, you know, make sure that they understand that, you know, there are measures that you need to put into place. Example, you always call someone on your cell phone and say, just listen. And then while the traffic stop is going on, someone on the other line is listening so that you can have that protection back.
So. Yeah, and that is so true. That is so true. Now, there's a lot of things been going on this past week with the flag coming down in North Carolina. What is your take on that? Because you've been very active in civil rights, community rights. And as you see that flag going down, and give us some insight on what you think about it at this time, because you're part of this here. You're part of what's going on.
Well, you know, when we saw the Confederate flag being taken down yesterday, as I think I posted on, you know, I'm pretty huge on Facebook, that, you know, a lot of us have got up going about our day on yesterday, you know, TGIF, and then for South Carolina, you know, the healing now begins. I think that was the first step of healing. I mean, I know that they had to bury and take time to do 9 celebrations of life, and I can't imagine anybody having to do that as, you know, as a governor, as elected officials, as church members, as neighbors. It was kind of a horrific thing that they had to go through. And we still keep them in prayer. I go to church, we still lifting them up in prayer, and personally as well as in church settings. But, you know, when saw the flag come down yesterday for the final time, it was pretty moving for someone like me who has been active in civil rights, you know, actions. I was born probably doing the movement, but for the actions where I have been, and I watched a lady on TV as the cameras kind of perused over the, and she was an older African-American woman. She had tears coming down. And I really wish I could have just got to her and say, what are you thinking? I mean, what are your feelings right now? What are your emotions, you know? And she probably has some stories that she probably could have, if she would have shared, about what that Confederate flag meant to them as African Americans in that state. So it was a touching moment, and it was definitely, to me, a first step towards healing. I posted something last week about, you know, quiet, please, the healing taking place. Now, you know, as the 4th of July is now over with, it's time for America to kind of like sit back, chill for a minute, if you will, and start letting healing take place, especially with South Carolina. So I think that I applaud Governor Haley, Nikki Haley, for that. And then, too, I'll be honest with, on the flip side, I think after she watched Ferguson, like she watched Dallas, Texas, and other cities, when the African Americans were in an uproar and when constitutional rights had been violated and things like that, I think that she, honestly, my opinion, did not really want an uproar with African Americans in her state. And I think that she was genuine, however, Minister Lewis, in her actions, and I applaud her. But then, too, I think that she played smart politics, and I will always speak to that.
All right. I agree with you on that. I think that, you know, she made a wise decision based on the thing that could have had the consequences that could have resulted in that. Because that flag was flying over the Capitol, South Carolina. It was showing displaying a shadow. Of shadow of evil and wickedness that should have been brought down now. This is a new time and a new dawn now. Let the light shine, you know, that all men can be free. You know, here in Texas here, we suffer from the same thing. We have symbols and images that brings back memories. You know, I was brought up at the tail end of segregation, you know, where they was giving us a liberty to do some things there, but mom and the elderly people say, hey, son, don't do this. You can't do this. They were still living in the past because they knew the consequences of those things now. And our young men and women are growing up without knowing those things. And those things
those stances today are still respected. They're still remembered because I remember my mom and my dad saying things. And I remember the day that John F. Kennedy got killed. I remember the day that Martin Luther King got killed. How upset my upset that they were. And I could even see fear because I could see in their eyes, what now? Who now? You know, where do we go from here? Because our leader has been taken from us, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, and then, of course, you know, with John F. Kennedy, you know, he was a Democratic president that I think, you know, was really doing things for the African-American people. But I have to look at it and say, even as a healer, it's now beginning, even in 2015, the struggle still continues. And, you know, we just want to know when will racism, and I guess racism will never go away, but it is a scary thing to think that you go into, you know, Shady Grove, you go into your churches or wherever, and you just don't know who's there, why they're there. And, you know, especially someone of non-color. And, you know, in the Christian thing is you never turn nobody away because you never know when you're in an angel's unaware. But then, too, you have to look at racism. How dare it raise its ugly head in 2015? We have the first African-American president in the White House. But sometimes you have to still say struggle still continues in 2015.
And that is so true. You know, even in today's time, as you're saying, with the first African-American president, and it seems like racism is still rearing its ugly head, but it's hidden and it's mad. That young man just didn't wake up and decide to do that. It was instilled in him, and it was talked about behind closed doors. And so we have to kind of, you know, break down those walls and let them know, hey, this thing's not going to be tolerated in such a time as this. And we want to thank you for what you're doing. We have young men that's out on the forefront there. We know we just lost a great warrior for civil rights and human rights, and Miss Joyce Ann Brown. I saw the posting, and I knew you was there. Tell me, what impact did she make in your life? Because you knew her, you worked with her on some projects.
I did work with her through, of course, the Democratic Party. Now I work at Farrow. She was the first guest speaker for our class. We had females first and foremost. She was a personal friend. And, you know, it was a tragic moment in my life, to, you know, when she transitioned. But, you know, you have to understand that, you know, she was a warrior. She was a woman of strength. She was a survivor. And, in fact, we had just shared some times when I was in, I think you saw me on Facebook, when I was in New York, we were up there with a mutual friend that had a stroke, and we had a good time, you know, talking and sharing and you know, kind of talking about things that are going on here in the Dallas area. And, you know, you look at people like her and you just say, you know, Lord, why? You know, not questioning God, but, you know, when you have someone of her strength that is so much needed in the community, especially for those that are transitioning out of the prison system, and they're needing her guidance and they're needing her help. You know, but I truly miss her. Dallas misses her, the Democratic Party, because she was a faithful warrior and you know, and friend of this city. So, you know, and one thing about her, she would always get on a campaign of making sure that our formerly incarcerated knew about voting. You know, unless she, you know, she launched the Unlock the Vote campaign, and you know, it was one of the things where, you know, maybe not understanding once I am out of the prison system, once I am discharged successfully off of parole and or probation, I now have my right back to vote. So I am hoping that my beautiful daughter, Coquise, will continue the work, and we're going to be behind Coquise Spencer and making sure that, you know, that the work will not be, ever be left undone, and that the legacy that she left will never, you know, ever be forgotten. And the next campaign, let me get on this, and I know we got to go. After we get through the Constitution, right, we're going to do the Stop the Violence or Stop the Gun Violence campaign, which will be making sure we get buttons out to all of our people saying stop the gun violence. And this all goes back to, you know, the South Carolina racism and, you know, even Joyce, and even our late Joyce Ann Brown suffered, you know, her round of racism when she was, you know, falsely in prison. So you have to look at all of this that comes into the boiling pot of, you know, between the racism and the prison, the falsely imprisonment of some of our young black males, some of our African-American females. You know, you have to look at that even at the beginning of 2015. The struggle still continues, but we have to get on these campaigns. We have to stay on them. We have to stay focused, and we have to let the public know, because, Mr. Lewis, a lot of people don't go to community meetings. A lot of people don't listen to the radio. A lot of people don't listen to internet radio. They don't get involved unless it's something that is, you know, surrounding them and their immediate family. But it's shows like this that I commend, shows like this that I support, because this is a way of getting information out to people. And we need more shows like this, because, like I said, everybody doesn't want to attend a community meeting all the time because they don't have time, they don't want to be bothered. But you get to, so to you, you keep up the good work as well. So you'll be hearing back from me, because we got so many things that are now on the, you know, that are now are cooking for us, and you know, we're going to keep it moving.
Well, I know you are. Now, before you get out of here, do you have a contact number that you can share with our listening audience? So someone says, I like what she's doing. I want to be a part of it. I want to get involved in my community. And they just need a starting point. Help us out with some contact numbers.
I do. My contact number is 214-607-6461. And you can reach me. You can text me. Or if you want to hit me up on Facebook, you just go on my page and say, Claudia. It's up on the Claudia Fowler. And Joppa, I'm known as Denise. But the Facebook page is Claudia Fowler. And we're getting ready to set up a Joppa Community Child Center for Redevelopment Facebook page as well. So you'll be able to go on there as well as reach me. But just reach me, again, at 214-607-6461. And I am at the community's disposal. Like I said, community work may be a thankless job, but at the end of the day, I get my thank you. I get my gratitude from when I see my community thriving and I see sustainability and I see people that are now in happy, clean, good neighborhoods, you know, and just living the life and being blessed.
And that's so true. That's so true. Please take full advantage of this, those numbers that she gave out. Go back and listen to this show in its entirety, and just be encouraged. Thank you, Denise, for sharing your ministry, your work that you do for the community is very valuable and needed. For those that seem like that they have no hope, there is a hope. There is a voice in Joppa that's making a difference. Thank you, Denise, and we're looking forward to having you to be a guest at a later date to keep us up to date on what's going on.
Mr. Lewis, you keep doing what you do, and we appreciate you.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. Oh, what a great interview
Thank
that we
you.
Had there.
What?
God bless you. Hey, I want you to hold on if you can. We have a young man that's coming, Victor Thomas. He was a part of the Innocent Project. He's part of a YouTube video called Tested, about a series of young men that was incarcerated for a long period of time in the Texas justice system there. And because of the work that was done by our former Dallas County Commission, DA, Craig Watson, he was released out of that. And guess what? There is hope for each and every one of us. Amen. So the next voice you'll hear will be Mr. Victor Thomas. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Welcome to the program.
All right. God's good, ain't he?
Yes, he. Say, introduce yourself to us and tell us what's going on and tell us how important it is to have that relationship with God and also knowing your civil rights. and legal rights.
Okay. First of all, I give all the glory to God. And I'm very grateful to be on your show. My name is Victor Thomas. I'm one of the exonerees. I had two lives in 20 years, and with no way out. They had even thrown away my DNA. And I just, you know, I'm very, very grateful to talk about the glory of God, because, see, I couldn't have got out without, you know, God's work. You know, he sent a DA down now, and he said, Victor, your DNA is gone. I said, well, you know, I've been working on my case, and I ain't went outside in 9 years. But God had told me, he said, let me have it. I got it. And it, you know, it let me know that his yoke is it's easy, you know. And then he'll unlighten your burden. So I tried it, you know. I was in prison, and I said, Lord, I said, I can't get out. I said, I want to get out too.
You know, Victor, as you were sharing that, man, I was getting a sense that you had an assurance, man, that you know that our hope wasn't lost. Tell us about your relationship with Jesus as you were going through those difficult times, man, because it was him that kept you.
Right. You know, prison is not easy at all. And what I mean by that, you know, a whole lot of stuff goes on, you know, rough stuff. And, you know, as you're praying, you might be hearing somebody getting stabbed, somebody threatening you, anything, you know. You just, you know, to walk down there is not easy at all, period. You have to be a strong brother down there. So I know him now, just I wait till it get real, real quiet, you know. And I just meditate on God, you know, and I asked him, you know, to really bring me up out of there and use me. And it worked, you know.
Yeah. That's it, worked. Now, Victor, now tell us now, you know, when you go to jail like that, when you're in prison and incarcerated, there's some anger issue, there's some bitterness that's involved in it. How long did it take you to get over that and say, okay, God, I'm going to surrender all unto thee and just let him start working through the legal system and through your life? Because
right.
Some men get out of there bitter and not better.
Yes. You know, I did a lot of, I did cooking. I mostly cooked. I cooked two shifts. But, you know, I said, God, I said, I can't get out. I said, I need some help. So he sent me a preacher, and he was locked down with me. And then he showed me how to forgive. I even tried to get him out myself. And he showed me, he said, it's a difference between thanking him and glorifying, and that's when I caught on. I said, you know what? God is trying to help me take it. So I started listening to him, and he walked me through it. He walked me through glorifying God and then thanking him. See, I thought I knew how to pray. Like, everybody know how to say thank you. Even a kid and a dog can say thank you. But God wants glory. And once I find out hallelujah was the highest praise, that's what I do every morning when I get up.
It meant something then. It was more than just words, you know.
Right.
I like that. I like that, though, Victor, because I do jail ministry.
So
I go down to the prison, and I do the local
right.
jail here. And I know brothers are mm-hmm. just bound, and they are mad, and they see no way out. What words of encouragement can you tell a family member that seems like they are son or their grandson is gone, and they know without a shadow of doubt God had put in their spirit, hey, you know, he going to get through this. This is not the end of it. He
right.
may even be
right.
innocent of this, but yet the system say you're guilty. And sometimes we want to just
right.
throw our hands
right.
up in the air and just forget about it. But you know better.
So let me start with this. See, when I got them life sentences, when I was getting them life sentences, I turned to a scripture. It was Psalms 56. And 56, 11, 12, and 13. And it was saying that, you know, put your trust in God. And, okay, man finna mess over you, but I got you. Just hold on. And really, I'm asking you biblically way, or spiritually way, because, see, at first I didn't understand this. I said, well, I'm talking about, these folks gave me 2 lives and 20 years. Why is I reading this scripture? But he was saying, look, okay, you ain't finna be no drug addict. You ain't finna get caught up in crack. So I got my time when crack came out. Right before it come out, I was already processed in jail. Just like how Jesus was crucified for something he didn't do. I think it was meant for me to go, and I held on to that, and he kept me alive. That's just like how you being a bad boy or something like that. You might not go to prison or something for what they're accusing you. But see, I believe if you go to prison, God save your life. This is me talking.
No, you said some good stuff there.
I didn't experience it. And then he going to show you what you did, partner. You know, he going to show you. And then that's when the forgiveness come in. You got a chance. He give you a chance. Even if you in jail playing dominoes and stuff, you need to stop right there and ask God to forgive you for whatever, you know, you did do wrong. Because, see, God can't make no mistakes. I mean, man can. They can throw you away, but God will sustain you. All right? So, spiritually, I look at it. I said, well, okay, I'm just like any other guy. I went to prison for something, and then it took me 15 years because I was bitter. I was real bitter. I said, man, this lady said I raped her. I ain't never even seen her or nothing. I ain't never been to no Waxahachie or nothing. And God sent me a preacher. He had to send me a preacher because I kept running. Locked me in that cell. And I started doing Bible studies and all of that. And I started praying hard to her. And next thing you know, man, I thank God. Next thing you know, they came down there telling me that they're going to take a DNA test on me. And the DNA came out that it was all messed up as far as it was supposed to have been me. And they let me out the front door of prison. And then the judges ran. They ran. They didn't just say, I'm sorry. I ain't never even seen the judge. You know how they bring you back and they say, I'm sorry? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you. I know
what
you're saying.
To me. I was one of the first ones that got out. They didn't want to see me, period. And,
you know, Vic, I was just thinking, you know, because of the era you grew up in and I grew up in also, it's at the time that before the DNA was active and using it.
They
would convict you and they'd throw away the key. They didn't care if you were inside. They got
they
somebody.
Did throw
back
away
then,
the
they
key.
Just wanted people. They didn't care. Because I recall,
right.
while you thinking, I recall when I was younger, I lived in South Dallas, there was a robbery by a store. And I was just happening, I was young, about 16 years old, and I was just walking across the street from the store. I didn't have nothing to fear. Police had a young man sitting on the sidewalk. And I was across the street. I was walking. Police came over there and said, "Hey, come here!" And he grabbed me.
Yeah,
he turned me over to the guy.
And then put the case on you.
Yeah, he grabbed me.
And that's what happened to me.
And he grabbed me. And he grabbed me and he asked the guy, he said, "Hey, wasn't he with you?" And the guy said, "No." He said, "Quit lying. He was with you, wasn't he? Tell me he was with you." And because that man stood up, and I respect that man, I don't know who he was, but he could have said yes, and my life would have been ruined. They wouldn't have cared about me or not. I've been in
right.
20 years, and I know how it is. And I'm glad
so
that God used people like you to come out and say,
yeah.
"Hey, man, these things are wrong." And they say, when they first start telling
wrong.
You about this DA, yeah. And so I know what you mean. Now tell me now, when they first said, "Hey, we want to revisit your case," I know that was a shock to you, and you was amazed at it, and it's something you probably pondered on for a while. From the time that they told you, and from the time that things started developing, man, did you see God's hand at work from the time that you was made aware of that up until it actually happened?
And God showed me some miracles. See, this stuff in prison, it don't happen. For instance, about that preacher, he was an outside trustee. And it was locked down, and they brought him in. They don't do no moving in prison. And then once he ministered to me, thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Once he ministered to me, they gave me a job back. That don't happen in prison. I mean, everybody in prison know that. Then I was smoking cigarettes down there. That's just like being a crackhead out here. So... he delivered me from smoking cigarettes. I weighed 135 for 15 years. Now, I'm real. I'm big as all them guys that did time with me. They said, "Tobin, hey, you done got big." I said, "Man, yeah, I remember. You owe me some money, don't you? What my money?" But spiritually, you know, God had to get me spiritually. Wow, he called me. But see, I want to tell everybody, don't wait. Don't wait, because, see, you might can't go through what I went through. You know, I come up real, real hard when you wringing chicken necks and all that. And, you know, today's time is different, you know. You might can't go through all that time. You know, the time will run you crazy. And George St. Brown, she, some told me to go get me some help. Once I got out, I got psychological help and all that, because, see, down there, time, it'll kind of mess you up because, see, out of here, you know, you paying bills, you're doing this, you're managing money, and down there, ain't no money to manage. You can't tote money, or you don't think like you're thinking out here. At 4 o'clock, the whole day is over with. And so you need some help once you come out here. So What I do is I just go around helping people. I evaluate them first. I help them get jobs. I counsel them. And I just thank God that he gave me the opportunity to do this, you know. And but I was real shocked when they came down there, because I've been writing and writing. I didn't never go outside. I went to the law library. And see, God really was trying to tell me, let me do it. And then he showed me all these miracles. He put another, once that preacher left, another preacher came, and he showed me how to fast. And I was over all the food. I was over all the food. So he showed me how to fast in prison without starving. And then he said, write to judge. First judge cussed my mama out and told her to die. And I was real bitter about that. And then I learned to forget. I forgave the whole system. Even the judge that cussed my mama out, I forgave him. And
oh, that's awesome, brother.
Yeah, yeah. And then I wrote the judge, the next judge, because some youngsters came down and said, "Say, Thomas, that judge you talking about, he dead." And I just wrote the next judge. And when I wrote the next judge, I fasted. And that preacher, he got his job back out in the trusted building. Just a lot of miracles started happening for me. You go ahead.
Yeah, now, Tom, I'm sitting here looking at your website here on YouTube. Tell us about this. Tested the book there. You know, after you got out, man, and God still was able to use you, man, and you came up with the boldness, man. Tell us about how that project came along and what it made you feel like to be a part of that, man, after you were wrongly convicted. But then someone said, hey, man, I want to make this thing right. And they asked you to be a part of this video to tell your side of the story and how you were able to work through those things.
Okay. Once again, I give God all the glory. And it's not all about me. It's to show God's glory. And it's not just me. It's 12 of us. But watch this. D.A., you know, God will make your enemies your footstool.
Yes, he will. Come on now.
Okay.
Yes,
so it happened like this. A D.A., a former D.A. up under Henry Wade and John Vance, she, Dorothy Budd, she was just looking at TV and stuff, and she seen all of us getting all out and stuff. And the domino effect of that was like when Josh got out, then I got out, and then Josh sent me to Craig. Craig said, do you know some more guys? I said, Craig, I just been on one phone. I said, but I know a whole lot of guys. And most of the guys, that's Dallas and Donna Reeves, we all did time together. You know, we was in our 20s. We didn't get out till we were 40-something. So we growed up. You know, it was a domino effect. And then it was other guys, too, you know. But what I'm saying is, like, this DA, she turned Christian. And she told Craig, she said, Craig, she said, I want you to call all of them. And got us all together. And she said, say, y'all, I helped send about three of y'all to prison up under Henry Wade. And we like, what is she talking about? And the Craig said, don't go off on her nothing. And then she said, I want y'all to forgive me.
No.
And see, I know that you got to forgive in order to really get out. I'm telling
you
that. I had two lives in 20 years. So, you know, we forgave her, and then she picked 12 of us. And she said, I'm going to write a book on y'all. Man, God, it's good.
Yes, she is.
I'm
going to
write a book on y'all. And then she put me on the front cover. I'm the cover guy. See,
okay, I'm looking at your video now.
And the book, and the book is spiritually. You know, we all telling our testimony. And the thing about that, I'm out of West Dallas. And, you know, they had that lead thing out there. They were giving out awards and stuff, money stuff for that, right?
Right. I remember those days.
Okay. So she married to the lead lawyer. And I believe this is just like how, you know, I was raised up in West Dallas Boys Club, boxing, all that. This is how I'm getting my lead money. Because, see, she, what it was is she wrote the book, and she gave us the royalties for it. And it's called TestItTheBook.com. That's how you can go online and get it. So I don't have to sell it or nothing like that. It's spiritually, and it's really to uplift you. You know, if you're going through something, you know, I had two lives in 20 years, and most of everybody in that book had life sentences. We all had sexual charges. We had rape charges of women saying that we raped them, and we don't even know them.
So
you got actual innocent. Yeah, you got actual innocent, and you got innocent. All right? All of us was actual innocent. We wasn't even there. We don't even know the setting of it, what went really down. They did it just like you said. Oh, come here, bam, put that on you.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
It takes a spiritual person to go through that. So I'm advising everybody that's listening to get spiritually based and ask God for help. Because, see, something that's too strong for you, you're going to have to let him handle it. If you don't, you're just going to be bumping your head. Be going around in a circle like a dog be trying to chew his tail. That's how you'll be doing. Because, see, God, he's going to get the glory. And if he don't, then you're going to be just spinning around. So I hope that makes sense to a whole lot of listeners.
That do, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, now I've been talking to you for the last few weeks, and you have been very busy. Now, what if someone would like to hear you or just meet with you, you have a contact number, or what events are you being able to share your story with to encourage other men and women that God is greater than they than what they're in?
Yes. I have a contact number. Before I get a contact number, I would like to say this. God, he moves mountains, but don't wait. Don't wait till you get behind bars, because you're going to do more crying than anything. And everybody be crying, so don't think he just gonna hear your cry, you know. Because, see, God's time is not our time. See, I'm looking at the life sentences, you know. I'm like, wow, I'm finna cry. I'm finna be begging. And that's what I did. You don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Come on
going now. Through that. It's hard. You be wondering, why God ain't answering your prayer like that, you know. And I just want to tell y'all, don't wait. It's a song called Don't Wait. You know, that echoes in my mind, you know, because, see, without God, I couldn't have got out. They throwed away my DNA. They throwed it away. They didn't have nothing to work with, but they didn't throw away the girls, and he was waiting on me to forgive. It took me 15 years to forgive, because they cussed my mama out. They gave me some license in front of my mama, and I'm out of West Dallas.
Yeah,
I wasn't even raised like that, you know, to even date a white person. You know, you better not even bring a white girl to West Dallas City. You're going to get throwed at, rocked at, and get old and all that.
Now, Tom, so we're getting ready to get out of here.
Okay,
now, what words
my number is up.
Wait, before you give your number, what words of encouragement can you give a little young man that say, hey, I can do this here? I do juvenile ministry. I say a young man, they say, well, I can do this. It ain't nothing to it, but they don't realize the things that that's being laid on them. What words of encouragement can you give a young person to change their life?
My encouragement is, look, it's an entrapment anyway. They done tore down the boys' clubs. There's a lot of recreation centers, maybe just not around available.
Yes.
And see, the juvenile's just waiting on you. And then, it's, you know, if you do get entrapped in it, you're going to have to, don't be going down there trying to play hard and all that. You know you can fight and all that. But see, you don't try to get yourself ready for the penitentiary. Don't be trying to worry about who in the prison, what to do down there and all that. Because you ain't going to do nothing but set yourself up. But what you do, you try to be a little old boy like you is. Yes, sir, no, sir. Take out the trash. Don't be disrespecting stepdaddy. Trying to fight him because you can fight. What you do, you start going to church, square all the way up. And don't be looking to go to no penitentiary, you know. Do what your mama say. Pick up your Bible and stuff and read it. Because the first thing they give you in prison is a Bible. I don't care if you done killed your mama, you're going to get a Bible. Say, y'all, I had life sentences. I was wondering why I had them life sentences. My daddy was 50 years old when I was born. So do the math. By the time I got 15 and I'm out of West Dallas, what can an old man do with me? It's the same way with a project little boy that's poor and stuff and ain't got nobody there to chastise him. You know, and see, that's how it's set up for you to lose anyway. You see how rough I'm talking now? It's set up. I want y'all to understand this. It's not a laughing matter. 9 guys out of 10 will go to prison. Here in Dallas, 9 of them. It's set up like that.
And that is so true. That is so true. Hey, Victor, we're about ready to get out of here, man. And you know what? This has been a great interview. This has been a great interview. And we're looking forward to for you coming back on here again. We're looking forward to you to come to some of our men's settings here, because it's voices like yours they need to hear. Know that this thing is real. I do juvenile ministry, and I need some young men to hear your story, brother. I need some young men to see you, man.
This
to
is
know
my,
that,
this
I'm,
is my
that these things ain't made up. Yeah, give us some contact
now. Okay, you can contact me, and this is my personal number. You call me and me alone. It's 903-316-7321. I repeat, 903-316-7321. God bless y'all.
God bless you. Thank you, Victor. Thank you, man, for what you're doing. We just spoke with, we are speaking to Victor Thomas. He served two life sentences and plus a 20-year sentence and was released after 15 years on the DNA evidence. And he's, I have a video out on YouTube with a series of other men that have been wrongly convicted, and it's called Tested. And you two can go and view that video and just and also contact Victor by the number that he gave us. And we pray that you're being blessed by what you heard today. We pray that you'll be encouraged. We pray that you makes a difference in the lives of young men and women. We also had Ms. Claudia Fowler, and she was a community and civil rights activist in the Joppa community, and she's making a difference in the life of the community and the life of our young men and women. We ask you to go back and listen to this show in its entirety. We ask you to share what you heard today with someone and help change a life. Victor, as we get ready to get out of here, brother, we want to thank you once again for doing what you do. We want to encourage you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We realize that the work is yet to be done in your life. God is continually to work with you to continually to encourage you to be an encourager to the other young men. As we were talking and you were sharing your story, I was thinking about it in the book of Luke, and Jesus said, when you are restored, you to strengthen your brother. And I see what you're doing. You're strengthening other young men, and let him know the battle is not there, but it belongs to the Lord.
Oh, yes, it belongs to the Lord. So that's my work right here. This is what he let me out to do. I said, God, if you get me out, I'll work for you for the rest of my life. So I hit the streets, you know, because, see, that's how I came up, you know. And I know little boys going to be little boys, you know, and bad little girls going to be bad little girls. But this is my job to do this, you know. And I love doing this, you know. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, God bless you. We're looking forward to having you to come on at a later date. God bless you. Hey, man, what a great show. What a great interview we had with our two guests this morning. We pray that you have been impacted and empowered by what you heard this morning. We ask you to go back and listen to this show again and again and again and see if God is calling you to make a difference. We had Claudia, she's a community activist, and she's saying, hey, you need to be involved in the community. You need to be aware of what's going on. And guess what? And she gave us some contact. I'm give her a call and say, Claudia, I heard what you was doing. I'd like to be a part of it. Ask her for some of those calls. She was getting about knowing your rights, you know. And also we spoke with Mr. Thomas here, and he had been incarcerated for a long period of time, but yet he stood strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so we encourage you, regardless of how long you've been involved in something, God is still able and available for you. And we ask you to continue to do what God asked you to do on this day that was set aside. This is the day that the Lord has given. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we get ready to log off on this program, we want to bring to your remembrance and reminder that we have several other programs that's associated with Blog Talk Radio. Granny Place on Monday nights, we have My Sister, My Friend, which is a women's ministry. On Tuesday nights, we have the Mojo Talk Radio, which is marriage counseling with a husband and wife team comes on. Wednesday night, we have Elder Linda Jordan, who's a prayer line. So call in on Wednesday night and voice your prayer request. Then on Friday night, we have Street Talk, which is a youth ministry of young adults under 35. They call in and they share with things that they're concerned with and things that they're wrestling with. So I ask you to call in, tell some young person to call in and be a part of that program. And on Saturday mornings, you have yours truly, Minister Joy Lewis, free on the inside. That freedom comes from God. That freedom comes from being able to do the thing that God put to your hands to do. And so we encourage you to be free and share someone about that freedom that comes from above. As we ready to get out of here, we give God the glory. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the guests that came on this morning. We thank you for the information that was shared. Brother Lord, we pray this information that was shared, dear Lord, makes a difference in the lives of the men and women that heard it, dear Lord. That they too say, hey, I could be used by God. They too looks around and see, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Dear Lord, that you are no respecter person. What you've done for one, you'll do for another. Dear Lord, we ask you to continue to bless our guests as they go about their ministry duties, dear Lord, and giving glory and honor to God. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Until we meet again next week, everyone be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we're having a great time in the Lord. We're here next weekend at the same time, so please join us again. And you, too, can be a part of this radio program. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.